Community Matters, solutions to local issues and leaders who are making a positive difference. Here's your host, Joshua Tubbs.
Good morning. You are tuning into Community Matters on Your Encouraging WPER. I'm Josh Tubbs. Well, today we have a bit of a different feel for the show. Today we have Bill and Michelle. Now, they are from two different organizations. Bill is from Just Ask Prevention, and Michelle is from the Central Virginia Justice Initiative, and they both deal with human trafficking. So I'm excited to have them here because this is a topic I've wanted to go over on the show for a while, just because it's not something that's really talked about a whole lot in the community. So I feel that this is a good opportunity to raise awareness, and please rest assured this will be family friendly. So if you do have kids listening in the car, everything will be safe for their ears. So you can rest assured with that. So without further ado, Bill and Michelle, how are you guys doing today?
Good.
Good. How are you?
Doing pretty good. So, I'm going to start off with you, Michelle. The organization that you are with, can you tell us a little bit about them?
Sure. The name of the organization is the Central Virginia Justice Initiative. We are a faith-based Christian 501c3 organization that's really functioning out of the Fredericksburg region. So you can think of it really as Planning District 16. Our sole mission is to really fight against human trafficking and exploitation in the forms that we see it in the U.S. We also, in order to do that, we have about six different initiatives, and they've really grown over time as we have grown ourselves. The first is we really base everything in prayer because we are faith-based and we think that is our biggest weapon against this. We do a lot of work with churches, and to be quite honest, a lot of churches really understand the issue because they have missions overseas that they've been supporting for years. What we also do is we raise awareness. So we've done a lot of different events, free movie nights, things like that. We have speakers that have spoken really across the district. We do vocational training. So we realized pretty early on that there were certain vocations who were more inclined to come or more likely to come in contact with a trafficking victim, say, for example, first responders, healthcare workers, hotel motel workers, social services, you name it. And that those particular vocations, there are very specific things that they should look for with human trafficking. So we did a lot of development there. We've been supportive of prevention education, and we'll talk a little more about prevention education with regard to Bill's organization. We've been in to speak at a couple of schools in the area, as well as to youth groups, various youth groups, some in churches, some not affiliated with any churches whatsoever. We also were part of the Kids Are Not For Sale Coalition that really banded together to help educate our legislators. And in 2015, Virginia passed the first standalone standalone human trafficking law. Mm. So we're pretty proud to be shoulder to shoulder with other organizations in that fight as well. And just trying to think what else. This year, we actually started a crisis response program where we actually provide referrals to actual victims and survivors of trafficking. And so we've been pretty busy with that. Just trying to think if I've missed anything, but I'm sure it'll come up if we have. So that's 10,000 foot view.
Okay, yeah. Now, Bill, what about you?
Well, Jess, first, thanks for having us on today. It really is important for organizations like the Just Ask Prevention Project, which is my organization, as well as CVJI, to have community partners like you to be able to help spread the awareness and the message out there. So thank you for having us. I'm the executive director of the Just Ask Prevention Project. We've been around since about 2013. First got started when I was a police officer in the Northern Virginia area and really faced with this issue of human trafficking. I can share that it was surprising the first time that I ran into it. It was not something that I had trained for, that I was prepared to encounter during my investigative work. And it really has changed my life. It's opened my eyes to an issue that's right here in our community and in the Fredericksburg area, as well as other parts of Virginia. in the United States. So we started the Just Ask Prevention Project. Our mission is to inoculate communities against the threat of human trafficking. So we really view it as a disease. We view it as an infection. And our goal is to partner with organizations like CVJI to provide prevention programming, much like you would get a vaccine for nowadays chickenpox or, you know, measles, mumps, rubella, those types of things. We do it to protect ourselves. And we want to create and implement programming to protect our young people, because we know that, unfortunately, the traffickers are targeting young people.
Yeah. And that's actually a large part in why I wanted to do this show, you know, is to raise that awareness. And just like you were saying, inoculate, you know, the community. And I find it interesting that you chose the word disease, you know, with things like addiction and a lot of other topics that we deal with on the show. That's a lot. That's one word that comes up specifically every time is disease. So, I feel like putting it in that light is, you know, perfect. Because it puts everybody in the same mindset of, you know, this is something we need to take care of. So before we get into the big reason why, you know, I really wanted to bring you guys in here, I do want to kind of give you all just a chance to talk about your history a little bit too. So we're going to start with Michelle. How did you get involved with your organization?
Okay. Well, my background is probably not very typical of starting an organization like this, but it is what you're called to do. I spent about 30 years in business and finance. The company that I worked for gave us about 40 hours every year, each employee, to volunteer for the community. And one day I was online looking up something for my department. It was about 30 people. And there aren't very many people who will take 30 volunteers at a time. And so we were in Richmond, and so I was looking at the Salvation Army because they had a big distribution center, and it was around the holidays. And so my team always liked to, you know, take a day and we go do something. And it was, you know, team building, but it was also giving back. And so I was on the Salvation Army's website and I saw something about human trafficking, and I was like, whoa, wait a minute. And so I read a little bit about it and said a little prayer, and I had to, you know, go back to work. But it seemed like the issue just kept falling in front of me. I kept noticing more articles. And I remember that I was someplace and I saw either a podcast or something like that of someone who had been in Commonwealth Attorney's office in Virginia, and they were talking about a case, and it was in Virginia. And it was not only in Virginia, but it was, I believe it was up in Prince William County. And I said to myself, wow, that's close.
Yeah.
And so I went home and I talked to my husband and I said, do you think it happens here? And he said to me, I don't know, but we'll find out. And so we contacted the sheriff's office here in Spotsylvania County, and I spoke to a Captain Pierce. And Captain, I thought that I would go in, he would give me 10 minutes, he would say, oh, that's not really an issue. Maybe part of me wanted him to say that.
Yeah.
And I think about an hour later, I walked out of his office, and I think my eyes must have been just, you know, these huge circles. And I remember during the conversation, he talked about the mall. So I got in my car, and I was just instinctively driving towards the mall. My phone rings and it's my husband. And this is when you know God has given you the right partner. And he said, well, how'd it go? And I said, oh, he spent an hour with me. He was wonderful. We talked about this, blah, 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 blah. And I said, and I'm on my way to the mall. And my husband said, well, what are you going to do when you get there? And I was like, I don't know, but this. And he said, nothing good can come of that, Michelle. So he said, let's go home. And why don't you go home and we'll talk about it. We'll figure something out. And that was in 2012, which is interesting because of the timing. And so after that, it was trying to figure out what to do. And a friend of mine and I had, long story short, we had an event at Renato's one afternoon on a Friday, and we just invited as many people who would come. We had some speakers, and about 80 people showed up.
Oh, wow.
Which was amazing. And so then, okay, you need to do something. Now, what do we need to do? And so I believe it was Senator Obenshain who suggested talking to the Richmond Justice Initiative. And so they were the first organization that we talked to. And then we started getting connected with other organizations like the Virginia Beach Justice Initiative, the National Human Trafficking, or Northern Virginia Human Trafficking Initiative, and other organizations. And so then we started, I think really we learned a lot from each other during that time because we were trying to figure it out at the same time. So that's really the background.
Okay.
So it's an interesting path.
Yeah. Now, Bill, you had kind of given some of your background as well, you know, with being a police officer, but what kind of led you to Just Ask Prevention?
You know, I think one thing that Michelle said that was so interesting is we were finding our way. And I think that's so true for a lot of us that are in the field fighting human trafficking right now is when many of us first encountered it, we had no idea what it was, what to do with it, how we were going to impact the problem. And that's my story. I was a gang detective investigating a gang case. We were collecting evidence. We took it to the prosecutor and we said, we don't know what we got. You know, do we have enough to arrest these gang members? And the prosecutor said, you've got a great human trafficking case. And I remember looking at the prosecutor that day. I had about 8 years of investigative experience at this point. And I said, what is human trafficking? And I had no idea. And it really was an eye-opening experience for me. And that was back in 2008, 2009. And started to really get involved in the issue, started to understand the prevalence of human trafficking, began to investigate the cases. And as we did so, it was about building those resources and building those coalitions and organizations that could support what needed to be done to create this holistic approach. And in 2013, we applied for a federal grant for a regional task force. We were awarded that grant, and part of it was a requirement for an outreach and awareness effort. And so at the time, we named that effort the Just Ask campaign with the idea of having that conversation, right? Just asking for help if you're in trouble or if you see somebody else in trouble, just asking. And it has evolved over the years to become the organization that it is today. I'm proud to say that we have programs in 31 states across the country, and we're active in 6 countries around the world. So it has really taken off over the past 6 years.
Yeah, definitely. So the big reason why I wanted to have you guys in here, we're finally getting to that, is you guys had emailed us around, I think it was the National Night Out.
Yes.
That you guys were, you know, where you were coming together and you had this big project plan for, you know, like in the Fredericksburg area. So what was that project?
Well, we realized very early on, and I know Bill knows this too, is that we're stronger when we work together. And in terms of prevention, our organization has, you know, we've spoken to youth groups, we've developed some things, but I'm a big believer if somebody else is doing it well, don't reinvent the wheel. Just work with them. actually earlier in the year, in January, Bill and I were part of a panel at the Hospitality House that the Women's Club, Virginia Women women's clubs in the Fredericksburg area. There were a number of them that came together. And, you know, since then we've been talking some. And there are a lot of really great things about Bill's program. There are other good prevention education programs as well. But with regard to Bill's program, it's in what Fairfax County and Loudoun County, and has a pretty long track record. It fits pretty nicely into the health programs, and that's where we really see in terms of schools the request being for prevention education. The other thing is that it's really teamed with the safe zone concept. And I'm going to ask Bill to talk a little bit more about that. But the one thing that we heard over and over again when we talked to survivors of trafficking, and actually I wish there were a better word than just survivor, because if you think about what they're sort of, you know, there's got to be a better word than just survivor for them, because they've been through so much, and those that come out of it are such special, wonderful people. But when we talked to them, they said, you know, over and over again, particularly when they were young, and a lot of them were trafficked from a very young age, they came into contact with adult after adult who weren't traffickers, they weren't buyers. They may have been in the school systems, they may have been in hotels, they may have been in emergency rooms or free clinics, but they came in contact with adults time and time again that either when they asked for help, they either weren't believed or they weren't taken seriously. They didn't get a response that helped them. Or they were sort of just looked past and no one asked them if they needed assistance. And so that really kind of tore at my heart, because it made me think about what am I missing? And so what I really loved about Just Ask program is that it's not only giving the kids prevention, but it's setting up these safe zones so that there are people out there that are trained on how to respond, and kids can know that they can go there and they'll get a response. Because you can give all the prevention you want, but when a child asks for help or youth asks for help and they don't get it, you may have only had one shot. And so I'll let Bill talk a little more about his program.
You know, Josh, I think one of the more shocking things when we talk about human trafficking is that it is here in our community. So many individuals think, well, it couldn't happen to somebody that I know. It couldn't happen in my community. And then they also have this false belief that if it was happening, that certainly the police are trained, that certainly counselors are trained, that school staff are trained and can respond very quickly. Unfortunately, that's a myth. You know, we look at the healthcare workers across the country, law enforcement, the percentages of those professionals that we would consider to be the ones that would have the ability to identify something like that are less than 10%. It varies a little bit based on the specific job. And so it really is important that we are creating this safety net within communities. And one of the things that has inspired us to come up with this safe zone concept is the fact that a survivor that I had the privilege and the honor to work with, she, as a 15-year-old girl, went to school officials 22 times and reported that she was being trafficked. And all 22 times, she was told that she was lying and they didn't believe her. And this was somebody that was abused in pretty bad ways. And to know that she had reached out for help and wasn't able to get it, and that because of that, the exploitation was allowed to continue to happen is absolutely unacceptable. And so coming together with great partners like CVJI, we know that we're able to implement prevention curriculum, which is proven to work. We know that oftentimes many of the victims that are out there, a lot of them don't know what's happening. They don't understand how a trafficker operates. When we think of trafficking, we think of movies like Taken, where somebody's coming in and kidnapping a child. And, you know, those would be very obvious, right? Traffickers don't work that way because they know that's what we're looking for. So they're going to use mental manipulation, coercion, other methods to trick a young person into this situation and then control them. And they control them so much that they are completely comfortable with saying, you go home and you sleep in your own bed tonight and you go to school the next day. But at 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock when school lets out, I'm going to be waiting. I'm going to pick you up. And they know that that young person is going to be standing there waiting for them. And they go and they exploit them with life-altering effects. The average life expectancy of somebody trapped in this situation is only 7 years. Mm. So really the goal here is to educate our young people, to be able to give them the skills, tools, and resources that they need to protect themselves, also to protect their peers. So it's a sense of community responsibility. And then making sure that that community has that safety net through these various safe zones, whether it's a retail store or a school or a fire station or somewhere that that young person knows, I can go there and I can talk to somebody and they're going to help me.
All right. And, you know, it's interesting that you say that, you know, too, about, you know, we see what's in the movies and that's what we think. And, you know, that's how it is with a lot of things.
Sure.
You know, it's not just this issue. And you know, it's interesting how we can kind of set that precedence of this is what we need to be on the lookout for when that may not even be the case. So how can businesses and you know, like fire departments, schools, how can they reach out to you guys to get this information to say, hey, we want to become a safe zone?
They can actually reach out to CVJI. We actually are online at www.centralvajusticeinitiative.com, or they can contact us at 866-620-2889. That's 866-620-2889. And we certainly will be happy to work with them. One of the things that I really want to emphasize that Bill said is that there's a lot of really bad information out there because we have an entertainment industry that will take an issue and try to make it into a movie that's exciting, etc. And what I always say is, while somebody could take a child and traffic them, that'll bring way too much way too much attention to them. They'd rather manipulate a child, and you know, typically there is a lot of brutality that is also inflicted on the child. And so you know, you can have a child who starts to change in a lot of ways. And most of these victims are really suffering from a complex form of PTSD. Mm. And so when Bill talks about they'll be waiting for them, they've been manipulated and conditioned. So it doesn't happen overnight. These traffickers are incredibly patient. In some cases, they're really posing as a quote unquote love interest. That's a pretty common one. And so the child thinks that they're doing this for someone who cares about them, and they're doing it for the approval and the attention that this person is providing them that maybe they haven't otherwise gotten. So it's complicated. It's not it's not as simple as a lot of folks kind of think. We've seen an improvement, or at least I think I've seen an improvement over the last few years. Kids who go missing, who are runaways, are incredibly vulnerable. And certainly there was a time I can recall where runaways, maybe were thought of, well, they're choosing to run away, and maybe we didn't give them as much attention or concern in terms of finding them. But we're starting to really see that changing. You know, there's some federal laws and other things. But when a child goes missing, doesn't matter if we think they ran away or not, we need to find them. If they run away 10 times, we need to find them. We should probably be asking them why they're running away. But the truth of the matter is whether or not you think they've gone missing voluntarily or not, we need to find them. And so, there are a lot of I think misunderstandings about human trafficking, and that's why both our organizations do a lot in terms of awareness. So,
yeah.
I just want to add to that. You know, I think to Michelle's point, oftentimes because that process is so long, and the traffickers are so patient, that oftentimes parents confuse the warning signs. They think, well, this is my child being a teenager or maybe being rebellious or pushing back, you know? And I will say that it is hard to tell the difference, but what's really important, and I would really challenge your listeners, is to learn more about what those specific warning signs are. I would challenge your listeners to contact CVJI and ask them to come out and do a parent presentation, you know, where they can talk to parents and educate them about what to look out for. The name Just Ask actually comes from a case that I worked. A young lady, we'll call her Taylor, was 17 years old. We recovered her out of a hotel. And we recovered her out of the hotel. We found out that she had been trafficked since the age of 14. So for 3 years, she had been trafficked. Mm. And during that time period, her grades started to fall off in school. She started to have, quote, behavioral issues. And the school started to respond. She was seeing a counselor at school. Later, her parents got involved. The parents thought it was behavioral issues. They got her outside counseling. The behavior continued to spiral out of control. She later got involved with the juvenile justice system, had a probation officer, anger management counselor, and the last parts of the exploitation, had a substance abuse counselor as well. All of these professionals that were involved in her life. And I remember sitting there and I said, Taylor, how is it possible that you had all these professionals and for 3 years, nobody ever identified you as a victim? And she looked at me and she said, because nobody ever asked. If somebody would have just asked, then I would have told them. But everybody was too busy pointing their finger at me, telling me, you know, I need to change my attitude. I need to get my grades up. And Josh, you know, I look around the studio here and I see all these sticky notes that say you are loved. And I think that that's such an important message, right? Because oftentimes victims that are being trafficked, they don't feel loved. You know, they don't feel like they have a good, strong support network. And the trafficker has usually sold them some lies about love, right? Oftentimes the traffickers get into that relationship with their victims as a boyfriend or a girlfriend or, you know, some sort of relationship like that. And I think the message of love and encouragement and engagement with our young people is so important. But we as parents, and I'm a father of six, so I can speak from experience, and, you know, we have to be engaging with our young people and we have to be supporting them, but we also have to take it upon ourselves to understand what those risks are. And human trafficking certainly is a risk to our young people today.
Definitely. Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today, but you can go online to centralvajusticeinitiative.com. They are in the Fredericksburg and Richmond area. Like this is where they're at. So, you know, you can go online, find out all that you want to know and how you can get involved. You can also go to justaskprevention.org. They are everywhere, not just here in Virginia, and they are, you know, really making strides there as well. So go online, check them out also. That's centralvajusticeinitiative.com and justaskprevention.org. Well, I want to thank everyone again for tuning into Community Matters on Your Encouraging WPER. If you have any comments, questions, or concerns, you can always email me at josh@positivehits.org. That's Josh, J-O-S-H, at positivehits.org. This show will be posted on our website. You can go online to WPER.org. Go to resources at the top and select Community Matters. It'll be the first show to appear, and it'll be part one. As I said, you know, we ran out of time, but we will continue where we left off next week. So you can tune in at 5 a.m. next week to Community Matters here on 89.9 or 90.5 to find out more about what they are doing and where their heart is in their organization. So make sure that you tune in next week, and I hope everyone has a good and safe rest of their weekend, and stay safe on the roads.